Panoply, panorama, panpipe, pansy, aha, pansexual, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. Sound interesting? Then join Sally on Sundays at noon for Out of the Pan. All those gender questions making you think too hard? Whether it's transgender, bisexual, polyamorous or beyond, we'll throw those questions into the pan and cook up the answers for you. So go on, push that gender envelope. Only on 3CR 855am digital and 3cr.org.au.
3CR 855am, 3CR digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR on demand. Out of the Pan with Sally, first broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. 3CR broadcasts from the lands of the Kulin Nations at the overlap of the contested lands of the Wurundjeri and Bunurong peoples, and we pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging. Hello to any Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander First Nations people tuning in today from whichever lands you are on, and we acknowledge that all the lands were stolen and never ceded. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land. I'm Sally Goldner. I proudly use the pronouns she and her. Welcome to listeners of all genders, including, but not limited, to ladies and gentlemen. On the show today at around 12:30, I'll be catching up with Josh from the Melbourne Pride Chorus about their event next Saturday, Divas. Could it be in a Pride Chorus? And also, in a second, I'll introduce my first guest for the day. There's lots of ways to get in touch with the show to talk about all the things about which we need to communicate. And you can do so by email outofthepan855@gmail.com. You can SMS 61456 751215. Twitter, Mastodon, Blue Sky, Instagram at Sal Gold said so. And that's the bottom line. And posts on Facebook, my page, Sally Goldner, and Out of the Pan, 3CR, 855 AM Melbourne. Postal address, PO Box 1277, Collingwood, 3066. Any opinions I express on the show are strictly my own. One opinion that, of course, is totally 100%. Thanks very much to Andrew for Out of the Blue, diving deep for the Marine News, as they always do, with special international guest, Kiara. Great conversations, part of the wide length, depth and breadth, so to speak, of radio that is 3CR. Don't think there'll be any content notes today, but I'll give the numbers as needed. And for many reasons, appropriately, opened up with the B-52s, Private Idaho. We're in the middle of Ida Hobbit month. It's been a busy week, lots of days. Tuesday on the 19th was Agenda Pride Day. And if you realise that you don't have any sense of gender or don't feel like you have one, that's, of course, perfectly your call. And today is Pan Visibility Day. Yay for all the pans. We're cooking up things. And it's important that we have a full range of LGBTIQI plus and intersections in research on our communities. So very appropriate that we mention all the different types of people. And there's a great piece of research going on at the moment called Private Lives 4. On the line to talk about it is the lead researcher, Dr. Ruby Grant. Dr. Grant, thanks for your time on 3CR today.
Thanks for having me, Sally. Great to be here.
And can I just start, Ruby, by asking, if it's okay to ask, which pronouns you use, if any, and which Aboriginal land you happen to be on at this time?
Of course. So my pronouns are she, her, and I'm proud to be joining from the beautiful lands of the Muwinina and Palawa peoples this morning.
Aha. So you are, you're on one of the small islands near the big island, as we like to say.
That's right.
Private Lives 4. Wow. Number 4. Look, being someone with, as I like to call it, extensive lived expertise, I still remember the advance that was Private Lives 1. But here we are up to number 4. Let's go back quickly through the history of the first 3 Private Lives. Might be a good way to set the space for our conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so this is such an honour to get to work on the project that is Private Lives. It's Australia's largest and, we believe, longest-running LGBTIQA plus community survey. So the first iteration was run in 2006, or was released then. So it's 20 years going now. The survey has only grown and grown over those 20 years, being able to capture really important data about our communities. Consisting of some of the Australia's biggest data that we have on LGBTIQA plus people. Cool. So if you hear a government or a service citing large statistics about LGBTIQA plus people, chances are they're from this survey. So it's amazing to be part of.
Yeah, I don't want to put you on the spot or anything, but can you remember the rough numbers of, say, participants in Private Lives 1, 2 and 3, or have a rough idea?
My memory doesn't go back that far, unfortunately, Sally, but just in Private Lives 3, which was our most recent iteration run in 2019, we had 6,300 LGBTIQA plus adults participate in the study, which is incredible and is still the largest community-wide LGBTIQ survey to date, which is amazing. Hopefully we can beat that record this time.
Wowzies. Look, because I think I remember the first one might have only had about 750 or something. I mean, granted, it, you know, we didn't have the widespread electronic technology, et cetera, that we have today. But I think, you know, that has to be a factor, but also the growth in our community and the understanding, as you say, of the importance of the research is critical. I didn't realise it had got that big on.
Yes.
So let's break the record. It's like, well, I hope this comparison's appropriate. It's sort of like every year we want, like the Good Friday appeal wants to get another record. Let's do another record.
Absolutely. I mean, it's really important. I mean, even though we now have the Australian Bureau of Statistics increasingly collecting better data on our communities, that population level work, you know, has a can't answer all the questions or ask in as much detail the specific experiences that our communities face. So it's still really important for folks to have their say as part of this community-run survey.
Oh, look, absolutely. I mean, you know, yes, as you say, the census covers, you know, 27 million Australians and all their needs, but we need research on the specific needs. I'll start by saying the rainbow communities overall, but then we start, I think that's a good place there where we drill in, let's go to the next level, you know, the differences. I'll start with, you know, sort of LGBTIQI+, and this was something that I wanted to get right to the heart of and why we, you know, definitely why we need to talk about this. Do you think that there have been, or did you even know by reasonable statistical estimates that there have been parts of the, I'll call it the baseline of the rainbow that have been perhaps underrepresented in the past, and we'd really want people to, naturally you want everyone, but is there anyone you're, you know, sort of in an ideal world hoping to get on who would then sort of redress any imbalance?
Absolutely. I mean, that is really an important way for folks in those underrepresented communities to have their say. There's more and more research now on trans and gender diverse people compared to when Private Lives One was run, but it's ongoing, really important to hear from folks in trans communities across all ages. Our team is also running another survey later in the year about people with innate variations of sex characteristics.
Oh, excellent.
So that is happening later in the year. But this survey is open to folks with innate variations of sex characteristics who are part of the rainbow community as well. That's a group that is still underrepresented and we need to know a ton more about so we can help to kind of address challenges that this community faces. Just have a better understanding, which is where Private Lives came from. I mean, prior to them, we didn't know a whole lot about the community as a whole, and now it's as we are progressing, we're able to learn more and more about maybe smaller groups of the community. I'm really interested to hear more from people who are ACE or ARO sex communities. That's part of our acronym that often hasn't had as much airtime. So it'd be really important to hear from ACE and ARO folks as well.
Yep. So the groups that perhaps have been, you know, well, of course, have always been there, but, you know, have had, we'll say, I don't like these next words exactly, you know, added, you know, rightfully into the acronym, but later, you know, intersex, asexual, aromantic, and, you know, not in line with the introduction, agender people. We perhaps don't know enough about agender people specifically to even know what the appropriate percentage of the population is. So the more we get in there, the better. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, research plays a really important part of that. Like, at a community level, anecdotally, we might know more and more about, about people's experiences who identify with these, maybe more recently conceptualized labels. It's, really important for then research to come in and help us to rigorously explore these experiences so we can then take it to places like, you know, government or organisations and say, hey, this is a big part of our community, or this is a significant subgroup that experiences these challenges or these strengths that we can learn from. Research is really part of that, is helping us to understand those experiences.
Definitely, definitely. As I like to call it, we have, we have, you know, well, you know, not my words, a rainbow and intersectional community. Every dot of the intersection needs to be covered. Let's drill it even further. Mm. How are we going with groups like any one or more of LGBTIQA plus and people of colour, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander, First Nations, immigrant, you know, refugees, newly arrived, similar. How are we going in those areas, Ruby? You know, and sort of, I might ask, you know, sort of in previous iterations of Private Live, what sort of particular issues have come up for those groups?
Yeah, it's an important aspect and an important perspective that we take that intersectional approach to understanding the real diversity of our communities. And something that over time through the Private Live surveys, we've been able to build our understanding and also improve our ways of working with community and to make sure that the way we do our research is appropriate, sensitive and culturally safe for the diverse communities that are a part of LGBTIQA plus populations. So this time around, it's been really great to work with over 40 community organisations all around the country who are represented across our advisory committees who have helped to craft the survey to make sure we have specific questions and sections of the survey specifically related to the experiences of queer people of colour, Indigenous folks, people with disabilities, and trans and gender diverse folks as well. So it's important that a survey has been constructed in such a way that we can hear those stories, which is really important to us. I mean, we've previously been able to do some analyses of the last round of Private Lives where we could look at rates of things like mental health, suicidality, you know, community connection, and we do see you know, real differences across those intersections where we see, queer people of colour facing additional challenges compared to the wider queer population. So it's really important that our data is able to capture that so that we can use that information for change.
Yeah. Oh, look, very, very definitely. And there's two other, I mean, we could go through, you know, sort of as many intersections as possible, but a few others come to mind, and you actually just brought this one to mind now. You know, sort of state and territory distribution, metro versus regional, rural, remote. How are we going there? And you know, sort of what, you know, I'm sitting here with good technology in terms of internet connection, which I just want to acknowledge one of our fabulous listeners, Wombat, who thanked me for pushing through tech issues last week, which was not internet issues, but seriously, you know. It may be harder for people further away from the big smog, as I call it, of Melbourne / Nam, Sydney, similar, to access the survey. Well, how can we you know, sort of make sure it reaches more and more of those people out on the proverbial cattle station or in the middle of proverbial middle of nowhere to make sure they get represented, because their views are really, really critical too?
Absolutely. I mean, someone who's from a rural area myself in rural Tasmania, it's been an area that I've been personally really passionate about, is making sure the voices of queer and trans rural communities are captured in a national research. And so it's something that really interested me, and it's important that our survey reaches people all around the country, not just in those inner urban areas. And we also, I mean, we see from our previous work too that, you know, we've been able to show that that we see increased challenges that communities in rural areas face, but also real strengths as well in terms of that community connection and really great initiatives that happen in rural and regional queer communities, which is awesome to capture. We're working, and we really encourage local organisations and community groups to get behind the survey and share it in your network. You're having, you know, events in local communities. Please share our information about the survey so the word gets out as far as possible. I often find word of mouth is really important, especially to connect with folks who may not be super rainbow queer community connected, but still want to have their say, and we really want to hear from them.
Absolutely, I've just had an idea. Instead of watch parties, we could have Private Lives for survey parties.
Oh my God, yes, that'd be so great.
Get together and support us, great Australian queer research. This party, zumba zumba, as they say. Seriously, I think, you know, whatever, of course, gets people together and doing it. And the last group that I specifically wanted to touch on are people with what society might term as disabilities / differently abled. So I'm particularly thinking hearing, sight, but there may be other things to consider, neurodivergence, others that compared to people who meet, I'll say, the various ability expectations may make it more, you know, more challenging, all other things being equal. How are people with disabilities catered for in terms of private lives so far?
Yeah, well, it's been something we've been able to build on through a range of projects that my team at the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society have done some really great work, partnering as well with the team at Thorn Harbour Health in Melbourne to do more work around that intersection of queer and trans folks with disabilities.
Yeah.
And so from that learning and through that working with community, we've been able to develop a specific section of private lives that asks about experiences of folks with disabilities. So it's really important that we can have that understanding about inclusion as queer people within communities of people with disabilities, and also inclusion within the queer community as someone with a disability. So it's important that we can break that down. The survey has been developed in close consultation and co-design with queer and trans people with disabilities themselves, which has been great. So we've been able to make sure the survey is accessible as it can possibly be. It is a long survey, so I'll tell you that straight away. It takes a little while to get through it, but it is really important, and we really thank people for their patience. But a really great thing that we've been able to do this time around with the help of the Accessible Pride team at Thorn Harbour Health is to develop a world-first easy language version of the survey for people with intellectual disability.
Cool.
So that has involved a translation of the full survey into easy read that's designed to be accessible for folks with intellectual disability. So it's really amazing that we're able to offer that for folks who need it to make sure that some of the people who often the voices don't get heard in these national surveys can have their say through this, which is really great.
Oh, look, that is excellent. And the survey, let's say, is accessible for people with, you know, what society calls sight, who might be sight impaired, hearing impaired, that sort of thing as well.
Absolutely
vital, as you say. You mentioned something there. It's just gone complete half out of my head, whether you're currently or grew up or both in a regional and rural part of so-called Australia. Can I ask you to tell a little bit about yourself, how you got into research and queer research and all that sort of thing? Because it's obviously, I can hear the passion coming through in your voice that this means a lot to you and your team. Where did it, tell us a little bit about the Ruby Grant story.
Thanks, Sally. Absolutely. I'm really honoured to get to do this for a job because I feel like I would just do this anyway if I didn't get paid to do it. So I grew up in Lutruwita, Tasmania, in the south, in Hobart, a country area out of the south of Hobart. And I've always been really passionate about LGBTQ rights, especially being in from Tasmania and growing up in the 2000s here, where we just came out of the recent decriminalisation of homosexuality in 1997. So it was, I have a lot of pride of being a queer person and from Tasmania as well, given that history and the amazing activism that our small community has shown that has taken Tassie from being in many ways, having some of the worst and harshest laws for queer and trans folks to some of the best in the country, which is a real point of pride. So I guess coming through that lived experience of growing up through that time, having close family members who were impacted, and then getting to uni and being like, you know what, I want to be able to take my love of research and channel that back to the community has given me so much. So I led a bunch of research on LGBTQ plus people in Tassie over the last 10 years. That's some of the first research about being queer and living in Tassie specifically. which has been great to work on over the years. And I've now been in the last 4 years working at La Trobe Uni in Melbourne, where I can kind of take this show on the road, I guess.
get it all around. Yeah, look, honouring our pioneers past and still going from Tasmania people, and I'm going to name a few: Rodney Croom, Martin Delaney, Jan Van Atcherton, the late Ros Houston, amongst others, who did so much to, as you say, sort of pull Tasmania from being way behind to doing incredibly well on so many fronts. It really is sort of great to see that that Tasmania has come a long way. How can therefore people access the research? What's the way to dive in? Regardless of any background, where do you start, and when do you have to have it done by? When do people have to submit their input by? Is a better question.
Yeah. So the survey is currently running and will be open until the 1st of July. So there's a little bit of time. We've got the whole Pride month to have your private live party.
Great.
and so what you can do, I mean, you can just, in a search engine, search Private Lives 4 and our website will come up and you can read a bit more about the research, also the history of this important survey. You can see the outputs from the previous iteration. Or you can, a direct link to the survey itself is tinyurl.com/privatelives4.
And away you go by whatever means that you need. And you touched on the fact that, understandably, it can take some time. So if what would be the median time, and there could be ups and downs for some, depending on how much you want to put into some of the qualitative answers, etc. But yeah. What would be a rough expected time so people can block it out, particularly maybe if they're, in an environment, there might be they need to get to the library and use the library internet, that sort of thing, or maybe they're not in a 100% safe environment, so we'll do it when, you're young, say 18, still living at home, mum and dad are out of the house when you can do it, that sort of thing. What are the sort of time periods that you might need?
It takes about 20 to 30 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Block out some time, sit down and do it. You can pause and come back to it. Your computer should remember you. So if you don't finish it all in one sitting, that's okay. There is that option.
Too excellent. Ruby, thank you so much for the work that you do and your dedication. It really, hearing your story there, I can, you can feel that your heart as well as your brain are very much behind this, and that can only produce good results, I think, for our queer communities and in queer and intersectional communities. And so I'm with you. I just urge people to find that half hour, put the headphones on and have whatever you want in your ears and have a beverage, caffeinated beverage of your choice, which we are known to do in inner Melbourne, apparently. And, get it done and contribute so we can then, in an assertive and safe way, tap some, influences, politicians and policymakers on the shoulder and say, hey, here's what's going on. And that's the other thing I just might ask. I mean, I know it obviously once it's all in after, 1st of July, might take time to collate, but do you have a rough time frame for a launch after 1st of July?
Yes. Great question, Sally. We're hoping to launch it in early in the new year in 2027 because it's just going to take a little while to bring everything together. We're also working on the equivalent survey, which is now completed for people aged 14 to 21. So we're crunching a lot of numbers. But both of those surveys together are going to really directly create impact. So they've been funded by the federal government, by the Department of Health, Disability and Ageing. And so the findings will directly shape government policy, service provision and funding and a whole range of things. So it's not the kind of research that just sits on the shelf and doesn't get meaningfully translated or shared with communities. We're so excited to hear everyone's voices and then to be able to share it with everyone in the new year.
Oh, look, can't wait to see it. But in the meantime, we just urge people, get in there, as we say, have those Pride Month research parties, get together You know, if we can do it for Eurovision, we can do it for an important thing like Private Lives for Ruby. Thanks so much for your time on this Sunday afternoon. All the best. And, yeah, looking forward to perhaps talking to you again early in 2027 when we have that report in front of us.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for your time, Sally. Appreciate it.
Bye now.
Thanks very much.
Dr. Ruby Grant from the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society talking Private Lives for. And yes, I will put a link to the survey into our podcast today so you, our listeners, can do it and contribute and make sure that we have all the accurate research we need on what needs to be better so we can be have truly equal, equitable and just lives in queer and intersectional communities. All right, let's have some more musics. And we're going to play to now a track by Tina Turner with David Bowie. And this is Tonight, live at the NEC in Birmingham. 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally.
Actually, this is a song that David Bowie and Iggy Pop wrote a while ago, and David and I recorded it on his last David Bowie Tonight's album. We're going to do that together tonight. I want everybody, listen, I want you to sway with me, and we're going to sing it together tonight.
Out of the Pan thanks Go Kindly for their sponsorship of this program. Go Kindly creates high-quality, locally made bedding, donating 50% of profits to support women and gender diverse people experiencing housing stress. Check out gokindly.com.au and take their pillow quiz.
Y Plus Pride Victoria is a not-for-profit organisation dedicated to equality and justice for multigender attracted people, including bi, pan, regardless of label, or no label at all. We organise community events and advocate for better policies and services. I Plus Pride runs discussion groups which offer a safe and fun space to share your experiences, ask any questions regarding your sexual identity, and provide peer support. I Plus Pride is especially keen to hear from multi-gender attracted people in regional and rural Victoria. Donations to I Plus Pride are tax deductible. For more information, visit our website at biplusprideVic.org.au, email info at biplusprideVic.org.au or find us on Facebook or Instagram.
A 3CR supporter.
I'm bisexual.
3CR 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally. First broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. And thanks very much to our ongoing sponsor, Go Kindly, for their support of this program and this station. And yes, the Biplastics Pride Discussion Group is on this Tuesday. Now registered by Humanitix. And it's the same link every month for the rest of the year, which is incredibly organised. And yeah, discuss all things Bi Plus. And once again, happy Pan Visibility Day. Musically, we just heard from David Bowie with Tina Turner, and Tonight from the extended Tina Turner Private Dancer album. And of course, we opened up at this time of the year with Private Idaho by the B-52s. Why did we play that song? There could be a logical reason, because, we're talking, some pretty diva-ish people there, and they may be featured in an event next Saturday afternoon put on by the Melbourne Pride Chorus. And on the line to talk about that event from the chorus is the head of the Bases, Josh. Josh, welcome to Out of the Pan on 3CR.
Thanks, Sally. How are you?
I'm really, really good. Hope you are too, if it's okay to ask. Just to check in with which pronouns you use, if any. You use he, him, and also just to check which Aboriginal lands you are on at this time.
We're in Jerriwoiwurrung lands is where I'm calling in from.
Excellent. A good place to be. And a good place to be will no doubt be with the Melbourne Pride Chorus next Saturday, the 30th of May, because you've got a great event on called Diva. Where to start? First of all, the chorus has now been going, I think it must have ticked over 30 years by now, hasn't it?
Yes, that's right. So we were the first in Australia for LGBTQIA plus choir that was established. Mm-hmm. So we're thrilled to announce Diva, A Night with the Stars, so a dazzling choral celebration of the voices that have defined modern pop and the icons who paved the way. Was there any follow-up questions, Sally, or would you like me to jump in on what to expect from the performance?
No, dive in for it. What sort of things tease us Diva, A Night with the Stars could involve? What sort of music do you sort of touch on, and tease us maybe with a couple of artists, and all that sort of thing, go for your life.
Sure. So taking to the stage for two performances, only on Saturday the 30th of May at James DeFoulis Auditorium in Hugh at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m, Diva will showcase powerful, uplifting and unforgettable choral renditions of some of pop music's most beloved anthems. So audiences can expect a spectacular musical journey spanning generations, from today's chart toppers to timeless legends, featuring songs made famous by boundary-breaking artists including Billie Eilish, Alanis Morissette, Whitney Houston, Taylor Swift and Elton John. The concert celebrates the stars whose music continues to inspire, empower and unite audiences around the world. Known for its vibrant performances and commitment to celebrating diversity through song, Melbourne Pride Chorus brings its signature energy, heart and harmony to this joyous production. Diva is a tribute to self-expression, resilience and enduring power of pop music to bring people together. Whether you're here for the classics, today's biggest hits, or simply a night of feel-good entertainment, Diva, A Night with the Stars, promises a fierce, fabulous and unforgettable concert experience.
Oh, look, just absolutely amazing. I mean, as you say, the Melbourne Pride Chorus, singing on for a long time. I must have had a 5-year memory gap or something, over 35 years. That's a lot of singing. How many people do you now have in the Melbourne Pride Chorus on average, say, for a performance? Because it's a lot of people to bring together.
Exactly. It can be a bit of a logistical nightmare to get everyone to fit on the stage, but there's usually about 60 of us that commit to the performances when the timing's right, when the numbers are good, and it works with everyone's busy life, busy schedule being a extracurricular task for us all. But it's a great community. It's some great uplifting spirit in amongst the team. So 60 of us on average, and I think in total, all on the books, we've got about 80, 85 members. So that's a pretty good turnout.
Yeah, no, look, it's amazing. And, I mean, you also have, I may have lost track a little, but how are, Shout, the youth queer chorus going as well?
Yeah, I've heard some really great things about their current repertoire and how the team's going there. I used to be a shouty myself. That's how I started in 2020 with Melbourne Pride Chorus's youth chorus. Shout, and that was a lot of fun. It's a good community. So it's a 18 to 30 year old catchment in there, and we're a good crowd. I've had some lifelong friends. I'd like to think of them now, 6 years down the track, and we're still very close and catch up every month or so. And it's a very good community.
Yeah, look, you've touched on something I just wanted to ask, I don't know why you might have got in the first place, but, community could be a reason. Was there anything particular that made you want to get involved with Shout and now the Melbourne Pride Chorus? What was it for you that said, hey, yeah, this sounds like a good thing, sounds like a good harmonious sort of thing to do?
Yeah, I did a bit of research into it, so I wanted to connect with queer communities. So at the time I was playing a queer sport as well with a volleyball team, and wanted to also do some singing, knowing that psychologically it's quite a good activity. It enhances your physical your psychosocial well-being, as well as, I guess, physical well-being, and it all sort of ties in. And that's exactly what I got out of it, and continuing now the sport as well, and queer choir, and having a community of like-minded people around me, I feel like I'm maintaining a really good psychosocial, balance and physical balance, have some great people to catch up with after practice, after rehearsal. I'm feeling quite fulfilled in all those aspects, and I couldn't see myself ever giving it up. I'm hoping to continue that, forever now. It's been really good.
Oh, look, sounds amazing. And there are, of course, lots of queer sports, queer-friendly sports environments, such as, for example, I'm not sure if this is the one you're in, Melbourne Spikers Volleyball Club have been around for years, the wonderful 69ers 10-bin bowling club, many, many others. There's a great place in Melbourne, a couple of great sort of fitness places in Melbourne, Conscious Combat. It's great that we have, the full diversity of it seems like we have a full diversity of queer events for queer people, and I think that is, really, really important that that's the case. So, yeah, it's great that you have that connection. I'm just going to ask one thing, which is just a plain curiosity one. How do you fit in things called paid employment with all that going on?
Look, that's a good question. I think the commitment and the passion is really the big answer to it. And, you know, I'm an individual that I can't sit still. You know, I've always got to do something. And by channeling, you know, not overloading my plate, but having a busy, you know, schedule keeps me more sane and it helps me sleep at night. Because if I feel like I haven't done enough through the day, you know, I don't really sleep, to be honest. So I need to keep myself busy. I need to keep my plate loaded. And, yeah, I just like to, you know, prove to myself that I can excel by doing so. So it's passion. That's where it comes from.
Yeah. No, I think that's so important. A bit of a theme for the show today. I mean, our previous guest, we were talking about Private Lives 4, you know, passion for research. And it is that passion that can drive community-based activities. So I think that passion will definitely come across in Diva, A Night with the Stars, next Saturday. Now, you know, I've got tongue wedged firmly in cheek, coming out the other ear type of question. Is there room for people to sing along with the performances?
Absolutely. We do encourage that, you know, people to sing along and clap along and, participate. You know, it's about a whole, you know, everyone in the room. It's about bringing the energy together with the audience.
Yep, and it's such a good time of year to raise the rainbow energy as we sort of finish Ida Hobbit Month and head into Pride Month. Brilliant timing as well, so that keeps it, you know, sort of going along. I think we've sort of got things covered. But is there anything else you'd like to say before we mention once again the sort of when, where, how type of stuff to make sure people who want to get to the event can do so?
Absolutely. So just a reminder, that's 30th of May, that's next Saturday at 3 and 7 p.m, our matinee show and our evening show, and that's at James Tatoulis Auditorium in Kew. And you can find it on our upcoming events part of the Melbourne Pride Chorus website, just through a quick Google search.
Yep, up it will come, and you're on the various social media platforms as well. And, wow, it sounds like a lot of fun. And I think it's, you know, these sorts of fun things that bring up the energy are what I just think are a boost to queer people anytime, to queer and allies. So let's do it. I like what you said earlier, that Diva is a tribute to self-expression, resilience, and the enduring power of pop music to bring people together. That sounds pretty, pretty good to me. Well, all I can say, James, is keep that voice looked after. We'll see if we can get a cough lolly or something to sponsor the Pride Chorus, just to be sure. But, you know, all the best for the gigs next week at the James Tatoulis Auditorium at 207 Barkers Road, Kew. And, it took us for a great couple of shows.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Hayley. Appreciate
Bye now.
It. Cheers.
There it is, Josh from the Melbourne Pride Chorus on 3CR, talking about the two shows next Saturday in Kew, 3 and 7 p.m. You know, Josh, head of the bases, a sort of section leader, to be precise. So all the best for those two shows with the chorus, and I'll also put a link to the chorus and all the ticket needs into the podcast for this show. I'll just grab a couple of quick messages and then come back, wrap it up, and tell you about what's happening on 3CR for the rest of this Sunday afternoon. You're listening to Out of the Pan, 3CR, 855 AM, digital, 3cr.org.au, and on demand with Sally.
Rotations. Every Sunday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eclectic sounds from 3CR volunteers and guest presenters. Available via streaming, audio on demand, and podcast. More info at 3cr.org.au/rotations.
Rotations.
The work cover system is broken. Delays, denials, and profit-driven decisions are hurting real people physically, mentally, and financially. add your support to the Call for Change by the Injured Workers Support Team. Visit the Parliament of Victoria website, find the Legislative Reform for Workers' Compensation System e-petition and add your name. Stand with the IWST and injured workers. Demand a system that is centred on recovery, dignity and safety. Sign the petition today. IWST is a 3CR supporter.
Hello, this is Leroy McQueen and you're listening to Out of the Pan on 3CR.
Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3cr on demand, out of the pan with Sally, first broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. And yeah, rotations at 2 p.m. But before that, of course, the fab crew from Freedom of Species talking all things animal advocacy, vegan, vegetarian, similar, have a show at 1 o'clock on dating as vegan. Rotations at 2, someone will spin in today. Queering the Air with Madison and team at 3 p.m. All sorts of in-depth analysis on a range of queer issues and great conversations. And meow, 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 meow. You'll have to tune in and find out what that's about. And Salaam Radio Show at 4. A great afternoon of listening in your ears on 3CR. And, well, one of those coincidental things on the show today, and that is the passion of our two guests in, you know, very different ways. Sort of Dr. Ruby Grant talking about Private Lives 4 and the passion for research, you know, the heart right in it. And, you know, then listening to Josh talking about his experiences with the Shout the Youth Chorus and now the Melbourne Pride Chorus and how much it means to him. You know, it is just such a boost when the heart is there, and very, very important in these challenging times. All sorts of nonsense going around, of course, as we know, for queer communities, particularly trans people. I'm trying to be polite here as much as I can, but the reactions, I suppose, is a neutral word, from those who disagree with the decision handed down just over a week ago by the federal court in the Tickle versus Giggle case, and just the hysteria that's being whipped up is enormous. And I think we've got to keep our calm. I have not heard yet whether anyone from the Liberals, Nationals or One Nation will try to introduce bills into federal parliament this term, but it seems some people are claiming that. And, you know, the thing is, you know, what do we do to counter them? I mean, you know, sign petitions that say, no, don't introduce those sorts of bills. I wonder if those sort of tactics are getting through to our politicians at the moment, particularly on queer issues. You know, we have to find the tactics that work and get it back and, you know, put that strong lobbying voice in their ears that says there's no vote advantage or certainly no net vote advantage. I mean, it's all very well for those three parties I mentioned to have a go at trans people and whip up emotive issues about women's safety and women's rights, when we know the real cause of danger for women is men known to them and things that happen in their own home. And it's nothing really to do with custody or anything else. And the thing that I always wonder is, you know, what happens when you have a violent cis woman? Where do you put her when it comes to incarcerating her if you have to? So, you know, I think that that was a logical question. You know, that wouldn't get a debate. That wouldn't be allowed on mainstream or / commercial media, etc. That's why 3CR is here. And as Andrew mentioned on Out of the Blue Radiothon next month, it's only, 3 weeks away. I'd better get myself planning for it. Please support this show and others on 3CR when it comes to Radiothon, because we need your support and trans people in particular. 3CR proudly, proactively fighting back against the current as I say, trying to find polite words, malarkey that exists out in the world that trans people are facing. Anyway, I'd better get out of here, make way for Freedom of Species and all the great afternoon lineup on 3CR. I'll take it out today with a 3CR exclusive from a few weeks ago when Maxon was on the program. Here's her track, Everybody. Thanks for tuning in to Out of the Pan. I'm Sally Goldner. Make sure that you stay difficult, but stay happy, and catch you next week.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.